"What cooks have you got?" he said. "It's a good apron," said the voice in the gloom. "It is the ing envy of all my friends," Mr. Tulip growled. In the silence, Mr. Pin heard the unseen drinkers calculating the likely number of friends of Mr. Tulip. It was not a calculation that would involve a simple thinker taking off their shoes.
"All right," said someone.
"Now, we don't want any trouble with you people," said Mr. Pin. "Not as such. We simply wish to meet a werewolf." Another voice in the gloom said,
"Why?"
"Got a job for him," said Mr. Pin. There was some muffled laughter in the darkness, and a figure shuffled forward. It was about the size of Mr. Pin. It had pointy ears. It had a hairstyle that clearly continued to its ankles, inside its ragged clothes. Tufts of hair stuck out of holes in its shirt and densely thatched the backs of its hands.
"Part werewolf," it said.
"Which part?"
"That's a funny joke."
"Can you talk to dogs?" The self-confessed part werewolf looked around at its unseen audience, and for the first time Mr. Pin felt a twinge of disquiet. The sight of Mr. Tulip's slowly spinning eye and throbbing forehead were not having their usual effect. There were rustlings in the dark. He was sure he heard a snigger.
"Yep,"
said the werewolf. "The hell with this," thought Mr. Pin. He pulled out his pistol bow in one practiced movement and held it an inch from the werewolf's face. "This is tipped with silver," he said. He was amazed at the speed of movement. Suddenly a hand was against his neck and five sharp points pressed into his skin.
"This ain't," said the werewolf. "Let's see who finishes squeezing first, eh?"
"Yeah, right,"
said Mr. Tulip, who was also holding something.
"That's just a barbecue fork," said the werewolf, giving it barely a glance.
"You want to see how ing fast I can throw it," said Mr. Tulip.
Mr. Pin tried to swallow, but only got halfway. Dead people, he knew, didn't squeeze that hard, but it was at least 10 steps to the door, and the space seemed to be getting wider by the heartbeat.
"Hey," he said, "there's no need for this, right? Why don't we all loosen up? And hey, it would help me to talk to you if you were your normal shape."
"No problem, my friend."
The werewolf winced and shuddered, but without at any point letting go of Mr. Pin's neck. The face contorted so much, features flowing together, that even Mr. Pin, who in other circumstances quite enjoyed that sort of thing, had to look away. This allowed him to see the shadow on the wall. It was, contrary to expectations, growing. So were its ears.
"Any questions?"
said the werewolf. Now its teeth seriously interfered with its speech. Its breath smelled even worse than Mr. Tulip's suit.
"Ah," said Mr. Pin, standing on tiptoe, "I think we've come to the wrong place."
"I think that also."
At the bar, Mr. Tulip bit the top off a bottle in a meaningful way. Once again, the room was filled with the ferocious silence of calculation and the personal mathematics of profit and loss. Mr. Tulip smashed a bottle against his forehead. At this point, he did not appear to be paying much attention to the room. He just happened to have a bottle in his hand, which he did not need any more. Putting it on the bar would have required an unnecessary expenditure of hand-eye coordination. People recalculated.
"Is he human?"
said the werewolf.
"Well, of course, human is just a word," said Mr. Pin.
He felt weight slowly press down onto his toes as he was lowered to the floor.
"I think perhaps we'll just be going," he said carefully.
"Right,"
said the werewolf. Mr. Tulip had smashed open a big jar of pickles, or at least things that were long, chubby and green, and was trying to insert one up his nose.
"If we wanted to stay, we would," said Mr. Pin.
"Right, but you want to go. So does your friend," said the werewolf.
Mr. Pin backed towards the door.
"Mr. Tulip, we have business elsewhere," he said. "Sheesh, take the damn pickle out of your nose, will you? We're supposed to be professionals."
"That's not a pickle," said a voice in the dark.
Mr. Pin was uncharacteristically thankful when the door slammed behind them. To his surprise, he also heard the bolts shoot home.
"Well, that could have gone better," he said, brushing dust and hair off his coat.
"What now?"
said Mr. Tulip.
"Time to think of a plan B," said Mr. Pin.
"Why don't we just ing it people until someone tells us where the dog is?"
said Mr. Tulip.
"Tempting," said Mr. Pin. "But we'll leave that for plan C."
"Bagger it."
They both turned.
"Bent treacle edges, I told them,"
said foul old Ron, lurching across the street, a wad of Timeses under one arm and the string of his nondescript mongrel in his other hand. He caught sight of the new...